Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
Footy's on the radio.
And your front row.
For Ring hot water heaters. If your hot water needs replacing, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub.
For Macca's Little Wins app.
Triple M rocks footy.
For Ream hot water heaters, this is the Sunday Rub for McDonald's. Triple M rocks football. MCG today, Carlton taking on Melbourne. Should be a good game. A little bit of light drizzle as we speak here at the moment at the MCG. In fact, I think it's going to be rain just about every day this week, so get used to it. It's the Sunday Rub. Jay-Z, Jay Clark is with us. Wayne Carey, the King, is with us. We'll talk more about the King later on. And Wayne Swass also with us on Triple M Football. Shortly we'll be speaking to Simon Goodwin, who is basically the coach of the Melbourne Football Club. Look forward to that. Seb Costello will be over in Rio as well. Good afternoon, Dicko.
Good afternoon, Brian. Hello, gents and listeners. Looking forward to seeing if the D's can win four in a row. And if they win four in a row, they win next week. The Kangaroos have to win against the Giants. And Melbourne, Jay-Z, maybe if things go their way, could be back in the eight.
We'll call it, Schwatter. Who do you think? What do you think's going to happen? It's Geelong, Melbourne next weekend down at the Cattery. Cats a lot to play for, top four spot. Is North Melbourne going to be part of September or not?
I still think North will lose against the Giants next week, but I don't think Melbourne will beat Geelong at Geelong.
So they scrape in.
Yep.
Duck, good afternoon. Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, gents, listeners. Interesting round, and still much to be played out. BT, we've sat over in Perth, had breakfast together on Friday morning, discussed the ramifications if West Coast win. That was not, you know, obviously the Hawks fans will be disappointed, but for the competition as a whole, that just opened everything up, and now all of a sudden there's just so many different connotations even going into next week. BT, it's an exciting round.
And just to all those who criticised, the Channel 7 commentary team on Friday night over in Perth with regards to Nick Nat doing his ACL and fact that we were reporting that it looked like it was an ACL and people thought that was horrendous and we shouldn't be doing that and talking about it and giving our opinions, I'd like to report that Nick Nat has done his ACL and so has Segler.
I don't get that, Brian, because I was sitting on my couch at home watching that game and I saw that and I thought, what is that injury? Tell me, that is a massive knee injury to one of the AFL's best players. Tell me, Brian, what you think has just happened there. So I was wanting you to give me that view.
You do have to be careful. You do have to be careful sitting up there, BT, and sort of, I guess, you know, giving the listeners. I'm about to give you a pat on the back. I'll say he is very well informed and across it all. And BT doesn't just go off on a whim. Mm. One, he's always getting messages through from doctors and everything else right on, you know, while he's on air and everything else. So he doesn't just say things willy-nilly when it comes to injuries,
BT. I'll get 2 out of 10 wrong, but I reckon getting the 8 out of 10 right is a pretty effective way of doing it, a la Darcy Moore last night.
I actually think as a broadcaster, if you're not reporting and you're trying to understand, interpret, and then explain what you think is happening, then you're actually doing a disservice, aren't you?
Yep, we are. Let's move on, guys. Not many people have seen this. I hadn't seen this vision until I came in today and had a look at it. But with Adelaide in their game yesterday, Jay-Z, you're our newsman on this.
Big story.
Tell the listeners what happened.
Well, after Eddie Betts kicked his fifth goal in the showdown last night, it was one of those boundary line snaps that we all love. All his teammates get around him. And then late in this game, it was right in front of the Port Adelaide fans' pocket. They're unhappy, they're giving him the bird, and then all of a sudden this lady, a female Port Adelaide supporter, pulls out what looks to be a banana out of her bag or her lunchbox and throws it at Eddie Betts. Now, Josh Jenkins, his teammate, has blocked what looks to be like a banana, so it didn't actually hit him. But I think this is appalling on two fronts, and the clubs condemned it, come down so strongly.
Can I stop you there? Mm. So I think it's appalling that something was thrown. I think that is in itself a huge penalty.
It's a lot.
You don't throw something at a player.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I think the next thing you're alluding to, which you're about point number two of yours was...
There are racist connotations here by throwing a banana at Eddie Betts. Yeah, 100%, of course there is.
How, though? Explain to me how.
Oh, well, I don't think we need to get in the nitty-gritty of that, Schwatter, but I think throwing a banana at an Indigenous player could be interpreted by some as a racist action.
While we've been talking here, we've just watched the vision live again and again and again.
Yeah.
I don't reckon she had time to determine whether it was a banana, an apple, or a watermelon. She just grabbed thing nearest to her, didn't she?
BT. She would have packed her bag on the way to the ground.
She knows
she would have packed
her lunch. Deliberately put a banana in there.
BT. She knew what was in her bag. This is premeditated. She stood up. She was giving the double bird. She knew exactly what was in her bag. She would have packed her lunch.
What happens on the way to the ground? What happens if she'd just eaten her apple?
I'm not suggesting. Only one person knows whether it was racist, and that's her. Let's be honest.
Come on, I reckon it's drawing a longbow.
But she knows. Don't tell me she doesn't know that that's in her bag. And the fact that she threw something, I think,
Number one, I don't think she ever knew that Eddie was going to be close to the boundary line.
Irrespective.
And I don't think she had intentions.
Irrespective.
Hang on. Preconceived intentions of throwing it. I reckon she's just grabbed it. Got her.
Yep. Okay. Well, she should be given
and
life.
And then there's a third thing watching that vision. I hadn't seen it till this morning. Is the lack of reaction from those around her.
Totally agree.
That's just totally unacceptable. And they're condoning it.
The gentleman behind her seemed to be yelling.
Yep.
Let's accept one thing. What? Nothing should be thrown as a player deal with that. What happens to
it? It's a disgrace.
Life. Well, the reaction has been very strong. Tex Walker, the Adelaide captain this morning, says it's absolutely disgusting, should never be allowed back in to enjoy the football. Very disappointing. The club's reaction. Adelaide Crows say the club has contacted the Port Adelaide Football Club and Adelaide Oval Stadium management and has expressed in the strongest possible terms that we expect significant action to be taken against any person to be found guilty of antisocial behaviour in Port Adelaide. So the ladies' own club says Port Adelaide is appalled by the vision and will not tolerate this type of antisocial behaviour at its game. So that's immediate and strongly worded stuff from both clubs, and I think we applaud it.
Okay. So,
what do you think, BT?
Oh, I think just what I've said. I think
2 years?
A big ban, a couple of years at least.
Yep.
A significant ban.
Yep.
But I think in terms of reaching for the second point that you're making there.
The racial connotations.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that, but I understand that. I understand that it can be connected, and you can join the dots if you want. But I will give her the benefit of the doubt on the vision that I've seen there. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm not saying that's 100% right. I'm just giving my view. But I think it's bad.
Yeah.
Because if that had been a can of beer, or a thermos, or whatever.
We don't want to get to the stage, BT, not that I think we're anywhere near this. We have fences up like other countries do for other sporting venues. We've got a great game with great support.
But let's not overreact and put a fence up. Let's just find the lady and give her a penalty.
A severe penalty that discourages anybody else to think about
front page of the newspaper, an apology that should accompany it.
Yeah, interesting interesting supporting of your team. She looked like she was part of the cheer squad, didn't she?
She was in Port Adelaide garb with Port Adelaide fans.
Mm. All right, something else that came out of one of the games last night, and that is Darcy Moore, hamstring injury last night. And that's not great in itself because, you know, you need this guy playing minutes. He's such a young footballer and you don't want him getting injured. But has it opened the way for a return and a farewell game for Travis Gloak? Or does Mason Cox get the nod ahead of Travis Gloak?
I asked Nathan Buckley that question last night, fellas, and Buckley strongly hinted that Cloak would come back into the side. He's kicked 9 goals in the past 2 weeks, 5 goals last week, 4 goals yesterday. Played very well, according to Buckley, and I would be fully expecting him to take on the Hawks on Sunday in what could be his last Collingwood game.
So, Duck, then, on that conversation, it means they're not even considering the VFL as being a factor. Should they or should it? And Travis was named as an emergency in last night's game.
No, that shouldn't come into it. I agree. You get picked on form. His last 2 weeks in the VFL has been exceptional. So he gets the opportunity. And if that puts him out of the VFL, well, so be it.
Ahead of Mason Cox?
Yeah.
Who's probably more a long-term thought for them?
He's kicked 5 and 4. And I think I think it's a mark of respect for what he's given that footy club, premiership player, best and fairest winner, All-Australian. I think it'll be a good thing.
So Collingwood fans listening now, BT, will go to the game on Sunday. Collingwood have been very good since the bye, 5 and 4. How should they treat Travis Cloak in his last game, whether he has a good one or not?
As Duck says, with the greatest respect, he's given everything for the club, and it's run out of puff or steam for whatever reason now. And I'm sure there are reasons that we don't know about. But I reckon that's even been handled in a good way. Travis hasn't said much and hasn't...
He's played well in the VFL.
He hasn't spat on the club or anything like that. He's been very good with it all. Just let him depart if that's what the club and he want to do and find him a new club and move on, I reckon.
If he does, and it's the great unknown, if he comes back in and does struggle, it just might show you where he is seriously at as a footballer. What happens? And the different levels between VFL.
What happens if
and
he
AFL.
Comes back in and kicks three or four?
Well, then the side that he's going to next year will be very happy.
Having said that, though, I think a change would do him the world a good. Duck, I think, to get out of the environment he's been at for, what, 11, 12 years? Go to another club. It's a new challenge, an opportunity to reinvigorate himself, fall in love with the game, and who knows what he's capable of. But I think, and you said it last week, I agree with this also, is that Trav moving forward is probably going to be a part player, and that is two or three goals on a good day, do his role, take some pressure off another forward, but be part of a forward line structure as opposed to the main man in that structure.
And I tell you what, if you're talking about teams that just love players that play a role. Imagine if the Hawks got him, and you look at the Hawks the other night, not without a big, you know, they haven't got a big target. Segler's now gone down. He's out for a year. You know, that could open right up. That could be a real target for the Hawks.
Be a good pickup.
Yeah, all right. No other thoughts there, Swatter?
I think we've covered it off, Brian.
Gold Coast, you don't want to have a thought about them?
Oh, please. Can we get... Give me a spell. Come back. We'll cover it off.
Long run.
Oh, have we given them enough?
Are and
have
they butchered the it run, enough, Jay? Swatter.
Do you disagree or not?
I want you to mark out 30 yards. Come back with the first ball. I want you to steam in on the Suns.
Lowest crowd since 1989 for a Collingwood home game. 1989 was when Collingwood were playing at Victoria Park. Round 21 when the competition was called the VFL. 17,500 people at Eddie Had Stadium last night to watch one of the biggest snore fest games I have ever seen.
I kept seeing the score come up on the screen. I was watching the enthralling game in Adelaide last night, and a couple of times I flicked over BT. I couldn't watch it, and had a little bit to say on social media last night, Jay-Z, and it was along the lines of considering the concessions, the money, and the draft picks that this club has been afforded, it is diabolical that they find themselves in this position. And underlining that is the position that the Giants currently sit in. And Bluey McKenna, we've spoken to Bluey a couple of times, BT. He's been the scapegoat for this, but it goes much deeper than that. Yeah. It goes much, much deeper than that, that those people that have put this list together, the people that have made the formative decisions with regards to creating this club, have a lot to answer for. And unfortunately, you hide behind Bluey McKenna too often.
Tell you what, they're going to get another opportunity. Because we're discussing how many high picks they had. I think next year or this year, Jay-Z, they'll have 10 very, very high picks. If
5 in the top 27, I think.
Yeah, as of now. But then the trade for Prestia.
Yep.
Then the possible trade for O'Meara.
Yep.
They could end up with around about 10 very high picks. My sense is that they will be looking for players next year or in this year's draft aged 23 to 27. They need maturity in that side now, Gold Coast. That's what they'll go after in this draft coming up.
Established. Draft or trade?
Trade, both.
Yeah, established.
They will
stars.
Trade into the that picks. Position to be able to draft.
And they need to. Yeah. They need to.
Yeah.
But it's the same people, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay-Z, that are making the same decisions at the end of this year with regards to the current list that they've got.
So you're having a go at Scotty Clayton, the list manager?
Yeah, I'm having a go at the club. In total, the people that have been at this organisation that have put Guy McKenna's name front and centre continuously about the reason why they're in this position,
the
that's
guy.
Folly. Yep. He may have his weaknesses and he may have his faults, and I accept that.
Yep.
But what I won't accept is this club has been gifted so many things by the AFL in order to position it and give it the best opportunity to get off to a good start, and they botched it.
Free kicks.
Yep.
Yeah, no, very strong stuff. Now, I like it, Swatter.
We're just waiting for Simon Goodwin, but I don't want to interrupt this one. But we'll move on. Let Gold Coast go. I'm sensing today, Swatter, that Duck is...
just easing back a bit.
He's just annoyed.
About?
The body language...
Oh, no, we weren't going to do this.
The body language says to me that he's upset. There's a full page in today's Herald Sun.
What's it say?
It's not what you think. It's football related. It's titled Sunday with Robbo. Picture of Robbo. Best since Carey, but is Buddy now the king? This is where I think he gets upset at the headline there. And so I've done a bit of my own. The crux of it is he thinks that Buddy is now a better player than the king, who's very quiet at the moment because we're not letting him talk. But I've been through and had a look at the stats. Now, in the column here, let's go through them very quickly. Matches played. The king wins. Disposals average per game, the king wins. Marks average per game, Duck wins. Goals per game, Buddy wins. So one tick out of four for Buddy so far.
Just on that though.
No.
Okay.
Finals matches.
Righto.
The king wins.
Yep.
Disposals average in finals matches, the king wins. Marks, Duck wins again. and goals, Buddy wins. So far, Buddy 2 out of 8 ticks. Mm. And then in the third category, 20-plus disposals, 10-plus matches, blah, 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 marks and goals, another 3. So out of a possible 12, mm-hmm. Buddy has only 3 ticks. Right. That is a statistical fact.
Yep.
Then throw in, if you look at premierships, 2 each, then throw in all Australians, mm-hmm. 7 for mm-hmm. the King, yes. 5 for Buddy.
MVPs in there.
And by the way, captain
yes.
in yes. 4 of those 7.
Are there MVPs there?
Well,
they're not in there.
MVP Duck had two, but runner.
It's in the fact.
But runner up 6 times.
It's in the table, is it not?
No, it's not there.
Come on,
not there. Best and fairest.
Yep, 4 of them.
How many Buddy win?
Nah,
1.
1.
Just got home for 1. Mm. The only differential would be Coleman, and that's the golf. But so how that comparison can be made? And in the last paragraph of the article, logically, it would be difficult to argue Franklin already is a better player than Carey. So let's settle with the best since Carey. With another 6 years on his Sydney contract, he could finish with 350 games, 1,050 goals, and who knows how many premierships. But right at the moment, You can't. It's indisputable.
No.
And it may be different at the end, as Robbo says, but so why have you written the article now?
Just a filler.
Right. There you go. Duck, do you want to say anything?
Jay, you quiet?
No. Oh. I thought you summed it up pretty well.
Oh, Duck. See, this is where I think he's edgy today. Yeah. And he's contemplating this and his mind's preoccupied. And he's just thinking, gee, they've tried to call someone else the King.
You know what? It'd just be nice to come in here on a Sunday and actually not be in the bloody paper.
I want to say something, Duck. Nice. I don't know whether I'm supposed to say this. Yesterday in the paper, in the social pages, Duck was mentioned for something that happened 8 years ago.
And that was total rhubarb.
Rhubarb. And it, you know, a little bit of it happened 8 years ago. So absolutely bizarre the way they're getting on there. Let's get downstairs. Sorry, go on, Duck.
No, I was just going to say, is Buddy Duck the best player of his generation, do you think?
Yeah, I actually did a thing for Friday Night Footy, Channel 7 this year, rated my top 12 key forwards in the game. And I had Buddy just behind Brown as the best, you know, from, say, 2000 onwards. I had
Brown ahead.
Well, because I tell you what you can't measure. You can't measure presence. Buddy's got that. But Brown had there's an aura. There's players walking taller. Yeah, and I think Brown had got a little bit more than that. But I did say, when I said Brown was number one, I did say that if Buddy plays for another 5 years,
Duck
then
alluding,
he goes
to the fact that
past.
When he walks into the room, it stands to attention and the seas part as we get down to Mickey Robbo, who's got a special guest on the boundary. Ryan. Robbo, good afternoon.
BT, thank you. I've got Simon Goodwin down here. And Goody, just listening to that stuff going on there, who do you think's better, Buddy or the King, Carey?
I think it's summed up by the name The King, isn't it?
So, Goody. Yeah.
We'll catch up during the week, Dark.
Yes, very good.
Now, wet conditions, and I just looked at the radar. It's going to be drizzling all afternoon, so head over the ball. Pretty important. Melbourne going for 4 in a row. It sort of doesn't happen at this joint very often, so real incentive today to finish off.
Yeah, look, we're looking forward to it. You know, we've played a fair bit in the wet this year, so we've set our team up around contested ball and having those guys to the midfield that can play that style. So, you know, we're looking forward to the day.
Hey, Goody, sorry, I thought you were going to ask another one, Robbo. Hey, Goody, we've spoken over the last few weeks about your depth through the middle of the ground now, and one of Hawthorn's great strengths is the fact that they can just about line up anywhere. Is that going to be a focus for you and going forward with this group?
Yeah, look, I think it is. You know, we've got some great flexibility through the midfield, and you know, the last few weeks we've put Angus Brochure out on a wing with Dom Tyson and those sorts of things, and changed a lot of guys through halfback as well with Nathan Jones and Bernie Vint. So we're continuing to add flexibility to our team, and you know, we see versatility as being a really important element.
Hey, Goody, I still recall this game last year down at Geelong where Big Maxi Gorn ripped the Cats a new one. His year this year has been outstanding. You know, when you think about the dominating ruckman, the conversation centres around Sam Jacobs, Nat Nui, who was out injured, Shane Mumford, but Maxi Gorn, he'd have to figure in that conversation given the year and the book of work that he's putting together.
Oh, he certainly does. You know, he's been terrific. His improvement over the last 12 months has been unbelievable, and certainly something I haven't seen in the game before. But not only his ruck work, but his ability to take contested marks. You know he's in form when he's taking those big contested marks down the line, both forward and back, and he's been a huge bonus for us this year.
Goody, big news yesterday with Michael Hibbard seeking the trade out of Essendon. He will head to Melbourne, and that will all work itself out. just tell us what you think of Michael Hibberd as a person and a player.
Oh, look, you know, now that he's made the decision, we've always said along the way that we'll have some interest in him once he's made his decision, and I guess we'll come to that towards the, you know, when the season's finished and have those discussions a little bit further. But from
how highly do you rate him?
Oh, look, you know, I've obviously coached him at Essendon, so I rate him extremely highly. He's a quality backman that kicks the ball well, and he's tough and brave and goes when it's his turn. So he's got some important elements that a lot of clubs would like.
You guys are a youngish sort of group. What would he add to an emerging side like yourself in terms of his leadership and his aggression back there? I just think he'd be a real rudder.
Oh, look, he would be, but, you know, as I said, he hasn't made the decision of where he wants to go.
Oh, Simon. He's coming to Melbourne. You've already got the jumper locked out.
You're jumping to some conclusions there, but, you know, we'll have those discussions at the end of the year, and if he fits and he wants to come and he wants to be a part of it, then he'd be a big asset for us.
Hey, Goody, don't give us the boring answer here. clearly, you saw the Kangaroos yesterday being beaten by down there by Sydney. You play today, you win today, and there is a real chance that you could be playing finals footy. Now, I know what it's like as a player, as you do, when you're sitting in the rooms, there's often talk about it. Is there a little bit of a feel about it at the club?
Look, probably a month ago we set ourselves to be at our best for the last month of the season. And, 2 weeks into that month, we feel like we are playing our best footy for the season. So that's exciting for the footy club. And, I guess if we keep playing the way we're playing, that becomes a possibility. But at the same time, we haven't earned the right to have our destiny in our own hands. We have to just keep being at our best, keep doing what we're doing, and then the results will take care of themselves, and that's all we can really focus on, Duck. It's still really exciting for the club to be in this position this far into the season.
Hey, Goody, for the first year and a half, almost 2 years, a lot of what Roosie had to say publicly was about the challenges that he had to try and change within the group and the club about a loser mentality, and I don't say that disrespectfully, but was there a moment this year where you started or you noticed that the group started to finally believe in the game plan, the direction and everything that was happening at the club?
I think round one. That was a pretty defining game for us against GWS here. You know, they're an emerging team and we probably hadn't seen them at their best yet, but that was the time when you could sense this group's got some genuine belief moving forward about what they're capable of. And over the year, that's just grown and grown and grown. And we've probably played six of the top eight teams where we got within a goal. And then we had that game a few weeks ago against Hawthorn where, you know, you can just see the whole group, the belief in the whole club has just grown to know that we are capable, we are on the right path forward.
Simon, how's Jesse Hogan going? I don't think he's kicked a goal in the past month or maybe just one in that time, but yet you're winning games when he hasn't been, you know, kicking bags. How have you rated his past month and his performance and his role?
Yeah, look, he's working hard. He's getting to enough contests. He's just not having the impact he would like.
Is he out of form?
I wouldn't say he's out of form. I think he obviously hurt his knee probably 3 weeks ago where he went into the point post, and he hasn't done a lot of training since that, just managing that knee. So with that becomes, obviously, your form can be quite difficult to hold. But
so he's got a couple of niggles.
Yeah, he's had a couple of niggles, but he'll be back into form. He's, as I said, he's working hard enough. He's getting to enough contests, and as Duck knows, if you do that, you'll get back into form pretty quickly.
Goody, appreciate your time. Just one last question before you go. It's a 1:10 start here today, so not all that far away. What's the next role for you? What do you do from this interview? Where are you going? What part do you play from here?
Straight back down to the rooms and just have some final chats with the players individually and walk around and make sure they're in a good headspace.
What do you eat, Simon, over the next hour? A couple of snakes or marshmallows?
I just had a salad roll before just to fill up for lunch. So that's about it.
Picture good on you, Goody. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, boys.
Simon Goodwin down there. Very, very easy to get on with, isn't he?
You know what? I always say that Roosie's the coolest coach. I get the feeling Goody will have a real coolness about him.
He was part of one of the world's great Quadrella wins on a tour that we went on in recent years. And a few of us were in. We had a big win on this 60-1 thing that got up in the last race to give us the quaddy, which paid about 80,000.
How was your night?
We had a good night up in Bendigo. Good night. TAB couldn't actually pay us all of the money. So we drove from town to town. So they said, go to the next town. They'll have another 10. Go to the next town. They'll have another 10 for you. And so we drove around Victoria picking up our winnings. Just one little thing. We're talking about the King and Buddy before. Who would have earned the more spondula over the period, do you think?
Oh, the King.
Oh, would he? Okay, so even professionally has got the tick in that column as well. Interesting. I'm not so sure about that. Why? I'm thinking, buddy, in
the
current...
The other bloke's on a $10 million deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, just very, very quickly, we're going to head over to Rio right now, boys. You can take a breather if you like, and I'll handle it from here on in as we welcome Seb Costello.
Oh, BT, this city has just exploded because of the men's football result. Brazil have won gold in a penalty shootout. And I was in a bar watching it, couldn't get into the stadium, but they turned up the sound of the commentator. And I tell you what, that bloke sounded about as excited as if Bruce McAvaney called a race where first place was Usain Bolt and second place was Cyril Rioli.
And third, Cathy Freeman. He would have been very excited. there's no doubt about that. What do you, I mean, you've got the closing ceremony tomorrow. What's been your highlight of the game so far, Seb, do you reckon?
Oh, look, there's been some amazing moments. I have to say, being in the AF Stadium yesterday, BT, for Usain Bolt to bring up his triple-triple. So that is 100, 200 and 4x100-metre goals in three consecutive Olympics. And that was just extraordinary. But also, you've got to say some of the local highlights. So the first gold medal for Brazil was a young woman by the name of Rafaela Silva in the judo. And she has a great backstory. Came from the favelas, one of the poorest parts of Brazil, and made it all the way to Olympic gold. So they've been really inspired by her here in Rio. And they're also, as I say, celebrating the soccer gold medal now. And BT, I was just walking into a venue here in Rio, and I said to the guy on the door, you hear that? How good is that? They're letting off fireworks to celebrate the soccer gold medal. And he said, that's not fireworks. That's the boys in the favelas letting off the pistols to celebrate.
Very nice. Seven, and have the Australians, I know it's sort of slowly getting into party mode because we're boiling down to the last couple of events of the games, but any more Australians likely to get into trouble over the next 24 hours, do you think? And how has our own kitty been able to handle it all?
Anything is possible, BT. And you have to say, Australia, we've come home with at least one gold medal. Kitty Chiller has set the world record for press conferences in Olympic Games. Amazing effort from her. But, Brian, you, as an elite former junior basketballer, would appreciate that the Boomers are actually in action in the early hours of tomorrow Australian time. They take on Spain in a bronze medal game. So the Spanish, a really tough team. But victory would give us our first ever medal in men's basketball. So come on, the Boomers.
That'd be great. Looking forward to that one. Just very briefly, the Americans, when is the gold medal game played, Seb?
So that's a few hours after. So it's the same arena, Spain versus Australia first up, and then the Dream Team get involved. They'll take on Serbia, who knocked off us. So, you know, that'll be, I guess, the pinnacle for them. They've been spending the whole week out on a luxury boat just off the harbour here and been coming in to play their basketball game. So it's been fairly phenomenal. And then after that, the closing ceremony starts at the famous Maracanã Stadium, and that's about 8 a.m. Melbourne time.
All right. Well, you've done enough work, Seb. I'm officially going to release you from all Triple M duties. You can go and do as you please now. Thank you very much for joining us today. Good luck.
I appreciate that. I'll tell Eddie when he rings tomorrow morning for the closing ceremony.
Yeah, good on you, Seb. Nice work. And we've not long ago had the women's 4x400 as well. And Australia were never going to feature highly there, and they haven't either.
Let's go downstairs. Thanks again to Bob Jane T-Marts, Mickey Roberts, the D's as selected, but a couple of late changes for the Blues.
Well, speaking of the D's, Todd Viney down there as the players came out of the race. It's wet weather. Get your head over the ball. He was barracking and pushing them on, but there are a couple of late changes for Carlton. And out is Jack Silvani and also Sam Kerridge. And into the side comes Nick Graham and Andreas Everett. So two changes, Swatter, for Carlton. Melbourne, all clear.
Nicely done, Robbo. Check in with you a little bit later on.
Very good, Robbo. I'm just having a little bit of lunch here. Caught a little bit off guard. But
you were talking about...
trying to dethrone a half a chook.
You're in great, Nick.
Jack Riewoldt.
Yeah.
He's written a piece in today's Herald Jay-Z today. Vastly on the back of, well, our knowledge, let's be honest. But what's happening with Jack Riewoldt? Because he had a stinker yesterday.
I'm thinking that Jack Riewoldt needs to seriously consider his trade options. He's played 201 games, fellas, for zero finals wins. And the big question is Richmond going to be top four or bottom four over the next 2 years? Or what are they going to be closer to? Now, this is a man who's not in the leadership group. Strangely, has been snubbed from it for the past couple of seasons for reasons that I still don't understand why, to be honest. Because when I listen to Jack, I am always quite impressed by his maturity and his passion for the Richmond Football Club, which is undoubted. But when we're talking about Richmond and the rebuild that needs to happen there, you know, Brett Deledio's name comes up, Alex Rant's name comes up as trade bait. I think Jack Riewoldt is the man that St Kilda would love to have, that Hawthorn would love to have, that Collingwood would do backflips for, and that even Gold Coast could have the cachet to go after him. So I think this trade period contains some massive bombshells. I think they're coming. The fuse just hasn't been lit yet. I think Jack Riewoldt seriously could be one of them.
Well, the former coach of the Tigers, Triple M's very own, Danny Frawley, would support that, because here's some of his commentary from yesterday's call of the game.
Well, he's playing as if he doesn't want to be there, Brian. I'm not sure whether he's put the cue in the rack, but to me, I'm watching Dempster, and he's all over Jack Riewoldt. He just doesn't want to be there.
23 points up, the Saints.
Am I sensing in your voice that you mean that literally, that he wants to bail out?
Well, the way he's playing, Brian, he may as well just go up to the 80s celebration, because he's just playing bruise-free footy at the moment.
Stay tuned. So Jay-Z is suggesting today that he should think of a trade. Perhaps what Spud was suggesting, and maybe me, is that he has already considered that, Jay-Z, and that you've superseded your article a little, because I think he has already got in his mind that he wants out.
You think he's ready to hit the ejection button?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think he's happy, and Duck, join in, do you think he's happy about being played up the ground? Do you think that the frustration exists about being played deep?
I don't think he's happy about that.
I sort of tend to disagree. We had this conversation a few weeks ago.
We did.
Remember, where I think he's best suited. Clearly, he's won Coleman medals, and he's not kicking as many goals, but he was the All-Australian centre-half forward last year.
Yeah,
the All-Australian team. What he's done, and I'm not saying that it's the right...
Talk now not on where he's best suited, on what you think he would be thinking.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know what he would be thinking, BT, and I think that for anyone, any of us commentators, to try to predict what people are thinking, that's where you go wrong.
Body language yesterday.
What did you see yesterday?
I like the fact that Jack's added more strings to his bow in terms of a footballer. Should he maybe bring that back a little bit and be a little closer to goal? He'd like to hit the scoreboard more, and his form yesterday wasn't great. Just back to your point, Jay-Z, about him in the leadership group and how you see him from the outside. The leadership group at Richmond is voted by the players. So the players clearly don't have him in their leadership group. So that is what it is. Well, in a way, it's...
That's the way they've judged it.
That's right. So, you know...
Let's be frank.
Now, whether that changes, if he's at the club next year and that changes and they say, OK, now we've seen him grow, or there's certain things in his game that's changed and they change that, it'll be interesting to see. But if he's not in the leadership group next year again, then that answers it for you.
Wouldn't want to be a forward like Jack playing in a game plan, which they dished up in the opening half yesterday. In the second half, it was better.
Tell me, Schwatter, why do they move the ball so slowly?
Well, we spoke to Trent Cotchin after the game, and I asked the question, was it a strategy going into the game to flood numbers back and slow it down? He said no. I don't believe that, and
no,
I respect Trent for giving me that answer, but the way that they lined up and how they set up was push all numbers back, and then once they won possession, they had no one forward.
Chip.
Yeah, and it's painful as a forward, and I've never played it, so it's Duck's role, but it's painful as a forward to understand what your teammates are going to do. Immediately after halftime, ballistic, play on, aggressive running football, all of a sudden they've got more structure. He looks more at home.
Mm. Yeah, and Schwatter, even the game against Geelong the week before where they were really good for three quarters, they did the same thing. It was chip, chip, chip. What they had in that game, BT, is they went inside 50 and they scored every time.
But
so
they're not
not going to happen every week.
They're not a team.
It's a real boring game to watch.
They're not a team that's blessed highly enough in skill to be able
to do that.
Control the game and go slow, etc. They are a team that needs to play a bit more ballistic football. Mm. And
Why don't they, Brian? Well, you know this.
They won 15 games off that last year.
I went to past players' function up here, and I know past players are caught in their era, and they perhaps don't like the modern game, but every one of them to a T was talking about exactly what you guys have just been discussing there. Why were they going slow? Why do they continue to go slow? They've got no good kickers. How can they think they can play that kicking game when they haven't got good enough kickers to pull it off? Mm. They're not Hawthorn. They can't just control the tempo like that sort of thing. And everyone to a T thought that. We all think that. I think Richmond players are starting to believe that that's the way they should play as well. To me, I am seeing in the Tigers players carrying out the instructions of the coaches, but not necessarily believing fully in where that's going to take them.
The other question it poses, though, is that is Damien Hardwick questioning his own game plan? I go back to the point I just made before. They won 15 games last year. Last year they were an exciting team on their day when they ran aggressively, took risks.
Yep.
To BT's point, they don't have the skill across all lines to carry out a certain game style, which we saw in the opening half. So go back, and as a coach and as a player, if I get a sense as a player or playing group that my coach is second-guessing his game plan, then I'm starting potentially have some doubts about what does he believe in. And if he doesn't believe in his game plan, then as a playing group, you've got a bigger problem.
Brian, where's the Richmond curve? Are they going to finish over the next two seasons?
Hey, good question. Yesterday's game was indicative of where the two sides are going. So you look at the game yesterday and you say, St Kilda, where are they going? They're going up. And you look at Richmond and you say, where are they currently in their cycle of up or down? They're going down.
So what does Jack think about that? Could his career be wasted without a finals win?
I think that's why he's now
weighing it up,
asking in his own mind, and I'm trying to read his mind, which is a dangerous thing to do, but if I was in, he'd be reading in his own mind, be saying, gee, I think we're going down too. And I'm not going to be here to see the next, you know, final that Richmond play in. So should I look at another option, or should I stay with the Tigers? I reckon that would be going through his mind for sure at his age.
Well, if you were to have a coffee with him, Duck, what would you be saying? How would you advise someone through this situation?
I'm not as doom and gloom about the Tigers as some. I think they have the ability. I think they have the ability to bounce back next year. I think there's a lot of players in that team. Rance, Cochin, Delidio's been injured this year. Dusty Martin have all been very good again and probably career best. But then after that group, you drop away. Not too many have had better years.
There's not much to come back in.
That's right. And, you know, if Yaron finally gets on the park and gets himself fit, then all of a sudden they get a bit of run off halfback and they bring a bit more young talent in. I'm not as doom and gloom. I think they can challenge for the finals again like they have the previous years, and they could finish anywhere from 7th to 14th.
What would Hawthorn be thinking about Jack Riewoldt, Brian? They've got Gunston, they've got Sicily, Hawthorn.
O'Rourke.
I'm not sure that Jack Riewoldt's necessarily in their path. I think they would be delighted with Ty Vickery, because I think they see Ty Vickery as David Hale.
Yep.
One goal a game.
They do.
Three marks a game.
Yep.
Eight possessions a game. Mm. Just play your little role,
contest.
Ty. You've proven that you can't take the weight of the whole team. You know, in basketball terms, I think they see him as a role player.
Yeah.
And he only has to fill that little role, whereas Richmond are asking him to win the game for him. Hawthorn aren't asking him to win the game. Mm-hmm. They'll be just asking him to do that little bit. Reminds me of the Bluebirds. Welcome back to Triple M Football here at the MCG. And for McDonald's Triple M Rocks Football, Carlton and Melbourne. And got a little bit of pre-game entertainment here going on at the moment, which is very lowbrow. If I don't, a couple of flags following poor old Jammo and walks around. And it's not the greatest send-off, but nevertheless, it's Carlton style of the 2000s.
So this is pre-game entertainment. Yeah. There's Carlton people out there waving Carlton fans dressed in blue.
Look like they've grabbed them off the street.
Premiership flags. Waving them about. Not a massive crowd here today.
Jay-Z, some news coming through regarding the Eddie Betts banana scandal.
We spoke about it off the top, but a very strong response from Port Adelaide. Their chairman, David Koch, has just had a press conference and he has banned...
They've identified her?
They've identified her and banned her for life.
Wow.
So she won't be seen at a Port Adelaide game again. The Crows and Power both released statements and said they've been appalled and disgusted by the actions.
Does that mean she can't come in the ground as a member, or does it mean that if she gives up her membership, she can still come in as a person?
I think they'd try and stop her from coming in at all. So she wouldn't be able to get a membership to either club, I think, and she'd be sort of known to the gate people, I guess. I mean, she's got red hair. Pretty hard to miss. Of course, she threw a...
Put a bit of duck rinse in it. And you'd be,
she threw a piece of fruit, believed to be a banana, at Eddie Betts last night as he kicked his fifth goal. Mm. Just a shocking act. And
we all applaud,
I think, Port Adelaide for making a very strong, swift action.
Yep. I wonder whether they've spoken with her. Does it suggest they have, Jay-Z, or just identified her?
I believe they have made contact with her.
Mm.
Yep.
Interesting. All right, let's move on. Interesting article in today's paper regarding, I think, the serialisation of a book, Serial Rights, are they not, regard to Darren Mullane?
25 years since he died, October 1991. Brian, a teammate of yours...
On the back of a book coming out?
I'm not sure that there's a book coming out, to be honest. He had written some memoirs, which have been found, the first two chapters of his own memoirs, which contain some great stuff in the Sunday Herald Sun today. He's a teammate of yours, right? And this was, I mean, for me, you know, I was a very young bloke at this time, but I can imagine one of the stars of the competition dying now would just be such a shock and... you know, to everyone. So you're obviously a teammate of his at the time, Brian. Yeah. Can you just wind the clock back to say, A, tell us what a great player Darren Mullane was, and B, what it was like when you got the news of his death?
Well, the Raging Bull in that article sums him up. That's how I would describe him as a player. He was incredibly strong and attacked the ball fearlessly, was a great leader in the sense on the field with his actions. Is a very, very interesting duck. Stop it. So he was a great player on the field with his actions, strong and bold and brave and tough and all of those things. You know, there's a lot of talk about him being, you know, he would have been the next captain of Collingwood. I'm not so sure that he would have been the next captain of Collingwood. Not that his play wouldn't have put him in that position, but I just think off field maybe they were a little bit concerned about lifestyle, etc. But that was a bit of a thing of that period of time as well. So he was a great player. He was a great team man. You know, he was fantastic. He was the guy at the club. He was the guy at the club that was the glue. Get the guys together. Come on, we're going out to do this. Or if you just lost your 10th game in a row, he was the guy at the club saying, come on, let's go and do something different. You know, let's try and work this out. He was that sort of guy. He was great mates with Dennis Banks, of course. Spent a lot of time with him. Just a wonderful club man. I think he won best club man of the year a few years in a row as well. Did a lot for people in need. Yep. Did a lot of that sort of stuff as well, which probably wasn't as trendy then as what it is now. But he was doing all of that stuff back then as well. So he was a great character and a great personality, as well as being on his way to greatness as a player.
Where were you? How did you find out that your great mate, had passed away?
It was in about October. Do you remember the date roughly, Jason? It was certainly in October anyway. We were away. I was away in Dunk Island at the time, having a holiday up there. I think we were with the Tuddenhams at that particular time, Paul Tuddenham. I think it was with him. And we found out early morning up there. Could not believe the news when it came through. Had to ring a couple of people to check. I think I rang Shane Morwood, another friend of Darren Mullane, and he confirmed the news via phone. So it was just absolutely devastating. But, you know, that was the era then where you did those sort of things. No one would think of doing what he does now, jump in a car, loaded up like he was, etc. You know, nightclub after nightclub. That was just the way it was. You did that, but you'd never do it now. So it was an amazing period of time. Then to go to the funeral out at Dandenong.
How was that?
And almost not be able to get in as a result of the thousands 5, of people. 000. I think the Herald Sun have... there's some record set by the number of tributes or ads placed or pages represented for this particular funeral. I don't think it's ever been equaled for any other story since than the Darren Mullane story. That's how big it was. It is akin to Duck or Buddy or someone like that having a similar accident. So it was that big then. Mm. Yeah. 25 years ago, October.
What impact did it have on the group? You know, at Collingwood at that time won the 1990 Premiership and, you know, were a very strong side in 1992. But do you think, you know, what... sort of describe the impact it had on the group. How long did it take?
I'm not sure because I wasn't there after that. I left in 1990, so I was there up until 1990, left at the end of 1990. So the impact on the group, though, I read the article, and I think they're right. I hear Mickey McGuan saying that in 1992 they felt they had the best Collingwood side ever and got beaten in the first final and were knocked out. So it obviously had a fair impact. Lee Matthews said in the article today that 1992 would have been different had Darren Mullane been there to play.
West Coast won the flag.
Yep. Jay Clark is about to leave us. Just a couple of things I want to run by you, Jay-Z, before we go. Jake Stringer dropped. What's the fallout from all of that, do you think?
Oh, well, they clearly want to give him a bit of a jolt. So he goes back to the VFL, regains some form, comes back in. A bold coaching move from from the coaching group there to do this in the air of the finals.
What about North down in Hobart yesterday? It looked like the older players played well. Is that a fair summary?
I thought it was a massive statement from Boomer Harvey and Nick Del Santo in particular. They were North's two best players. Boomer, 30 possessions, 3 goals. Wells was very good as well, Brian, but they lost North Melbourne. The reliance on these older guys is still there.
Got to change. Essendon Melbourne, a possibility for a round one. Well, it won't be a blockbuster because Essendon and Melbourne will never draw a blockbuster.
What about the luster of seeing the Band Bombers return, Brian? Mate, Job Watson, Michael Hurley.
If Melbourne finish off and they have finished this year off well, first game come, next year, the Bombers, everyone back in Melbourne, I'm telling you, that'll get 65,000.
See, Brian? Duck likes it.
Yeah, anyway.
65,000.
Brian doesn't.
Can you imagine the build-up to Job Watson's first game back, Brian?
Duck may be the king. But when it comes to summing up crowds, what's good for the game, Duck's got no idea. Segler and Nitnat both confirmed ACLs,
and
yes?
I don't think West Coast can win the flag without him.
Okay. And finals ramifications. Just very, very quickly, Duck. I know you're all over this with Jay-Z. You took a look at it before. What do you make of it all in terms of the finals? Is the top three already set, do you think, Jay-Z? And let's assume that the favourites win the games from here on in, Duck.
Yeah, well, if the favourites win the games, BT, then what we'll have Geelong finishing fourth, Hawthorn third, Crows second, Sydney, and then you'll have West Coast in sixth, Bulldogs and the Kangaroos to hang on, because obviously if Geelong beat Melbourne next week, so that will mean not one game, if that finishes like that, all the favourites will not be one game in Melbourne. All interstate games.
I broke that news yesterday, didn't I?
Yes.
So what about the Thursday night?
I was just repeating that.
Brian, what happens then? So what does this mean, Thursday night game? Or?
Yes. So the Adelaide, if it finishes the way that we think it will mean that Adelaide will get a home final. They would love for that, and that will be. You can put it in now. Lock it in. If Adelaide finishes
Adelaide that position, Geelong,
it will be the Adelaide, whoever they play, at the Adelaide Oval.
On the Thursday night.
Yep.
What do you think from a broadcasting perspective?
And therefore no Sunday. And I think that's good, because what it does then, clearing that Sunday in the first round, gives them the flexibility and the necessary days break in the second week of the finals to play teams wherever they want to without the club saying, we haven't had enough rest, etc. So
it's a no-brainer.
It gives them great flexibility.
So if that's the case, BT, this could be our second last
Sunday game.
Sunday game.
I think more than likely it will.
Just one quick one. It means that Hawthorn will travel the first week. Can they win the flag if they're travelling first week?
They did it last year. Yep.
Have they still got the petrol left?
I think they have. I think they're still, you know, the favourites. I know they've lost two of their last three games, but I do think Hawthorn's best is better than
still
the competition's best. Would you agree with that, Duck, or not?
Oh, at their absolute best, the simple facts are, it becomes harder now that obviously Segler's out. Schoenmakers probably comes in. We spoke about this yesterday as well. But at their absolute best, they're still capable of winning it. But it is becoming more difficult.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.